It's just about getting to know people so that we can maximize the value that we are providing to them. But at the same time, we want people to feel appreciated, because if they don't feel appreciated, that could make or break someone's time or service in the military. And I think that's at the core a reason why a lot of people decide to get out of the military, is not feeling appreciated. Welcome to Your Story Doesn't End Here, the mental health podcast of military and veterans who refuse to be silenced. I'm your host, Rachel, and my mission with this podcast is to be a voice for those who don't have a voice, bring awareness to mental health issues, provide value and solutions, and to change the culture when it comes to mental health within the DoD organizations. Hey everyone, it's Rachel. I am back for a solo episode today. And today I just wanted to talk about some stuff that I learned recently, and I wanted to share some value with you guys. So I know a lot of you listen to the podcast to learn from the past, to learn how to be better, to do better. And I'm such a strong believer in we don't know what we don't know. So we grow each day by cultivating ourselves and learning how to do better. And so I want to be able to provide that value to you guys on this podcast platform. And so one thing that I really want to hit on today is a couple of leadership principles. And I want to hone in on one specific theory, but I'll get to that in a second. The reason that I even got to this place in the first place, it does stem back a few years, but an impact theory YouTube episode that I watched the other day really brought me back to this. I truly believe that if people learned this one thing, that it would be such a game changer in leadership throughout the military, leadership outside of the military. And so I'm going to get into it. So anyway, the guest on this impact theory episode was Vanessa Van Edwards, and I've watched several episodes with her before. She's an incredible human being. They call her the human lie detector, and she's very deeply rooted in the psychology, the facial expressions people make, the way that people respond in certain situations, and paying attention to these things, and knowing that if we're in a conversation with someone and they're doing certain things, it can help us read people better, which can help us ultimately be just better leaders, better friends, better family members, etc. But anyway, so in this particular episode, she talks about this thing called resource theory. And what I found interesting about resource theory is that it really does go back to what I alluded to earlier, which is, what is that one thing that I think would truly make everyone a better leader? And before I get into exactly what resource theory is, that thing that I think that would make everyone a better leader is just paying attention to people, being human, learning about people, and tailoring everyone's individual strengths and weaknesses to better the mission as a whole. And so resource theory itself says that every interaction and every relationship is a transaction. What does that mean? So to break it down, there are six different resources that we all give or take. I did a little bit of research on this in the internet. And the first resource is love, which is being accepted; service, being cared for; status, being recognized in a way that makes us feel proud; money, having currency; goods, having material items; and information, being taught or guided. So what does this have to do with the military? Well, I think a lot of times in the military, we very much focus on a few things. I do think that a lot of these resources are hit in the military. So, I will give credit where credit is due. I think that the status thing is hit on in quite a few commands. They give out recognition, they give out awards for several different things. We see this all the time. Money. Yeah. I mean, kind of, with rank, there comes money. Information is kind of a wishy-washy thing, because I think with information, the way that the information is received and the way the information is taught, depends on how well that resource is given in that resource theory. So if you're just throwing a book at someone, giving them a week to learn something, and you're not actually cultivating that information and teaching it to them and giving them the opportunity to be successful, I think that that's not as effective as, taking the time to do this, to give that information in an appropriate way. So I want to break these down a little further, though, so that you, if you are listening to this and you're a leader in the military and you want to understand how can I be a better leader so that I'm fully understanding what it is that my junior sailors, my junior soldiers, Marines, airmen, what it is that they need, and how can I start to use resource theory to understand them? So, I'll give a couple examples of resource theory, and then, we can kind of talk a little bit through what it would look like starting to recognize those and learn those. And it's a lot simpler than you might think if you're an overthinker. So when we talk about love and being accepted, this is one that I think the military lacks the most. And this is only based off of my personal experience because I was in a workplace where everyone was expected to be the same. And this was never just put out there like, hey, welcome to the work center. We expect you to all act like this. But it was very, very much shown through the actions of people. Now, and if you've listened to previous episodes in the past, I talked about how in one of my work centers, if there's someone that was a little different, if there's someone that maybe learned differently, or they were considered slow, or people thought they were stupid, or name any different type of even like neurodivergence, that they were ostracized. And ostracized could either mean that people just kind of didn't talk to them, they laughed at them behind their back, they talked shit about them, or it could have meant that they completely moved them to a different work center because they felt that they weren't conducive to the environment that I was in with everyone else that was doing everything the same way. So when we talk about the resource of love and resource theory and being accepted, the way that I interpret that, and you may interpret this differently, I interpret that as accepting everyone for their uniqueness, how individual they are, their strengths or weaknesses, what do they bring to the table? How can I learn and grow from this person because they are different than me? And there's something to be learned from every person. We just have to find it. And so anyway, the second resource theory principle is service and being cared for. Now, this is another thing that I think that the military it lacks very much because there's this attitude that, there's a mission, it has to be done. We don't care about your feelings. We got to get the job done. And people are malingering and people are faking. Obviously, that's not put out there in black and white, but again, it's one of those attitude things. And this is just my personal experience. Yours might have been different. So, when we talk about caring for someone, especially when it comes to mental health, if someone's having a rough day, it goes beyond just like, oh, hey, you can take a break or you can take a mental health day. The attitude that we portray about people when they're not around to hear us, it speaks volumes. And caring for someone means that, hey, if someone's not at work that day, and really it's none of your business why they're not there, they could have had a family member die. They could just be having a rough time. They could be on the brink of taking their own life. Talking shit about someone and, making other people around feel like it's not okay for them to take a mental health day, or it's not okay for them to take time when they need it, or go to medical when they need it. I mean, I insert any reason when people are talking shit when someone's not in the workplace, that really affects the attitude of the entire work center and the entire command, really, because when word gets out about certain things, other people feel like, oh, I don't want to be that person. I've seen it happen with sexual assaults. I've seen it happen with, people taking just regular medical appointments a lot. The attitude in the workplace of, this person's not here, this person's missing a lot of work, that's not fair. And then other people feel like they too cannot take care of themselves because they don't want to be that person. They don't want people to talk shit about them when they're not there. Some people don't care, but some people do. And I think at the end of the day, if we're not caring for those around us and we're not just being human, then it really is contributing to that toxic culture that we're fighting so hard to change. So number three, status. And I kind of talked about this earlier, recognizing in a way to make us feel proud. Now, the point that I want to hit on this isn't, how to make someone feel proud, because I think we all know how to do that for the most part. But the point that I want to hit on, and this is what I really learned from this impact theory episode that I listened to, is that not everyone cares about each one of these six items in the resource theory. Okay. So, for example, when Vanessa was talking, She talked about how there was an employee at her organization that she wanted to make feel important. She really appreciated her. She appreciated the work she put in. And so she moved a bunch of things in the budget around to give her a raise. Turns out that what this individual valued was not money, but she valued status. And so she didn't want the raise. She just wanted the position of director. So if we are now translating that into, even really these last few principles of status, money, goods, information kind of, but especially the status, the money, and the goods. There's oftentimes that we try to recognize someone by giving them a gift or giving them more money or giving them a position that we think that they would really like. If that is not what that person actually values or cares about, they might not actually receive that same feeling that you are trying to give to them. And that's not to say that they don't appreciate it. If someone is very well off and they don't value money, but they value status and they get given a raise, they're not gonna not appreciate the money that they get. But it's just about getting to know people so that we can maximize the value that we are providing to them. But at the same time, we want people to feel appreciated, because if they don't feel appreciated, that could make or break someone's time or service in the military. And I think that's at the core a reason why a lot of people decide to get out of the military is not feeling appreciated. So, how do we get to know people? How do we get to the point where we can apply these principles? And it really is just as simple as having conversations and listening. I think the key part here is listening, because, if you ask someone, "Hey, how are you today?" and they say, "Hey, I'm good," and you have time to chat, and you're like, "Oh, what do you got going on this weekend?" Or, "Tell me more about you. Where are you from?" You could start with the small talk, but I really like to get into the deeper questions. And there's some good books that I recommend here. Good Leaders Ask Great Questions is a great one to study. There's some great TED Talks online about asking powerful questions. And what I would recommend that you do as a leader is that you start with this. You start with your conversations and you ask powerful questions. I love to ask people what their goals and their values are. I like to ask the question why a lot, because there's so much that you can learn in these simple questions about people and what it is that they value and what it is that they're trying to achieve in life. And what we learn by asking these simple, powerful questions is we learn that we have a lot of similarities, but we have a lot of differences too. And, I think a lot of people lean towards the same stuff in the military because that's just how humans are. It's that pack-like mentality. People want to do what other people are doing. But if we start to embrace these differences and we start to use things like resource theory to understand that, hey, maybe so and so, they don't care so much about the recognition. They just want to be accepted. They just want to show up to the workplace every day and not feel like they're walking on eggshells or not feel like people are talking about them behind their back. And if we can just accept this person every single day, then it's that simple. They'll be happy, they'll be productive, they'll get work done. They'll be taken care of mentally, emotionally, and at the end of the day, they can lay their head down and not have anxiety about coming into work the next day. It really is that simple. Now, you're going to have your outlier situations, obviously, but this is where I say, study, 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 and learn. There's another book that I really like. It's called Drive, and it's actually a sales-oriented book. It's written by Woody Woodward, but it talks about it. It's a kind of a personality type book talking about what drives people. And I found it interesting because when we learn what drives people, we learn more about people. So, at the end of the day, even if it's just a simple, there's personality tests out there too. I know some people that work in corporate where they take personality tests to learn more about each other and their strengths and their weaknesses. And then not only just learning what they are, but taking these strengths and weaknesses and using them to make the organization better, to work better together. If another point that literally just popped in my head about the impact theory episode is, talking about meetings, right? And how in some meetings, there are some people that they don't process information right there and then. If it's a brainstorming session, they can't just come up with ideas there and then. They need time to, or a couple days to go write things down, to brainstorm on paper, and then come back. And Vanessa had mentioned that they allow that in her workplace, that if they're having a brainstorming session, and she's the kind of person that thinks of ideas on the fly, but she understands that there are people in her organization that don't do that, that's okay. She just allows them the space to say, hey, listen, I'm going to take a couple days. I'm going to write down some brainstorming ideas and I'm going to get back to you. Is that okay? And she says, that's fine. The reason why I thought that was important to bring up is because I think that when we look at the military environment and we expect everything to be go, 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 there is a time and a place for that. Yes. But there is also plenty of times and places where we can allow people to be in their element and to play on their strengths and to learn how to improve on their weaknesses, but not fully live in their weaknesses for so long that they feel like they are a failure. And I think that's where the military is getting things wrong. Now, is this something that the military can teach? Probably. They could have courses, they could have trainings, but you know, looking back at trainings and their effectiveness, I don't think that the way the military is doing training right now is effective. Now, I would love to be able to go on bases and teach leadership principles and do workshops and bring in people who are experts and, you know, grow myself in the process. But me as one person, you know, that I can make a massive change. I can, but there's only so much that I can do. If you're listening to this and you don't understand the principles that I'm talking about, you have to put in that work. You have to do the research, study it, practice it, implement it. The biggest thing is the action. And it's going to feel uncomfortable at first. You know, if you're the kind of person that normally shows up to work and, you know, you don't give a shit about anything other than work and going home, and all of a sudden you start asking people deep questions, it's going to feel incredibly uncomfortable. And what you could even do, just as a recommendation, is just practice on people outside of the workplace. So when you're in the grocery store, when you are shopping for a random thing, when you're going on a walk, you could start talking to people and ask them these questions. And the more you practice this, the more you'll get comfortable with it. And you can bring it into the workplace and use it to make you a better leader. And I'm such a huge believer that leadership is directly connected to mental health, because if people feel that their leaders care, they're going to feel more comfortable coming to them about, you know, their most vulnerable things in their life. And so that is what I wanted to leave you guys with today. I will link that impact theory episode in the show notes. I highly encourage you to go check it out. It is a bit of a longer one, but I broke it up into 2 days and I got so much from it. And then really any impact theory episode, they're just all so amazing. And I always learn so much from them. Tom Bilyeu brings on the most incredible guests. And so that is all I had for you guys today. I hope that you took something from this. I hope you got value from this episode. Please make sure you do check out the show notes, because there are some really great things in there. There's an event coming up on Whidbey Island in September that I've talked about a few times that is going to be incredible, incredible, incredible for the military community up here. Make sure you follow the Instagram page, the Facebook page, the website we are working on, but it is coming together slowly. And really any support just means the world. We did also just recently launch the listener support program. So there will also be a link to that in the show notes. If you choose to support the podcast through the listener support program, I really appreciate it so much. But really anyone sharing with their audience, it helps the mission so much. And it gets the word out there about military mental health and the culture and what we need to do to change things. And so thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. I can never thank you enough. And I will see you guys next week. Till next time.
Thank you for taking the time to listen in today. With your support, we are able to increase awareness of the mental health issues affecting service members and veterans today, with the goal of creating positive change. If you got value from this episode, please take 30 seconds to subscribe and share this episode within your own network. Until next time, remember, your story matters, your mental health matters, and your story doesn't end here.